Continuing our reading, Sri Brihadbhagavatamrita, Chapter 5, Part 1, Chapter 5, Priya, the Beloved. Narada Muni has just heard the glories of Uddhava from Ugrasena, Maharaj Ugrasena, king of the Yadus. Begin with text 126. Shri Prikshirubhacha Mattar ityadikam shutva Mahasobhagyamutamam Udasvasya munirgeham Gantyam gantum harsha pakarshataha. Shri Prikshit said, "Dear Mother, after hearing these and other exalted glories of Uddhava, Narada Muni, overjoyed, became eager to go to Uddhava's house." So a real devotee, when he hears the glories of another devotee, wants to see that devotee. Again, we're coming to the point. Devotional service is not mechanical. It's not stereotyped. It's not a material formula. It is meant to awaken ecstatic feelings in the heart. And ecstatic feelings in the heart are not something that are just within you. They actually mean something. They actually are meant to be reposed in someone else. Ultimately in Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Madhurya Kadamani states that when you see a devotee, especially after having not seen him for a long time or seeing him for the first time, if you don't feel ecstatic feelings towards that devotee, if you don't feel gladdened by seeing that devotee, this is sadanindu. This is actually offense against a Vaishnava. So when we read about these pastimes of the most exalted devotees, we should understand that it's not that because they are transcendental to the rules and regulations of devotional service, that means if they don't manifest the symptoms of devotion and devotees that are described in the very basic scriptures, Bhagavad Gita. It's not in that sense that the elevated souls move on from the regulative principles. They move on from the regulative principles because the regulative principles are completely fixed in their hearts and in their behavior. Sometimes devotees who are immature, when they try to, achieve some spontaneous state of devotional service, and they hear that in such a state you don't have to be so strict about regulated principles, then they become weakened. Their ability to follow becomes weakened, and they throw caution to the wind when it comes to their dealings with other Vaishnavas. And they get caught in the trap of their own illusion and their own misconception. And then they fall down. And the first symptom is they start to criticize other devotees unnecessarily. Or, when they see another devotee, they take it so for granted they don't feel anything. The Bhagavatam says that if when you chant Hare Krishna, tears don't come to your eyes, your voice doesn't falter, your body color doesn't change, and you feel transcendental feelings, then your heart is like to be understood to be steel-framed. That goes for all of us. Who is, every time you hear Hare Krishna, are tears streaming from your eyes? No. Means we're not exalted like these devotees, and we should be very, very careful. What to speak of not abandoning regulated principles and trying to be spontaneous lovers of God artificially, we should be very, very careful. We should think, my heart is steel framed. I'm not feeling transcendental ecstasy when I chant Hare Krishna. I'm distracted by so many things. In this mentality and more, the devotee, when he chants in a helpless feeling, with a feeling of helplessness. I am so fallen. My heart is steel framed. I'm so sinful. I've performed so many sinful activities that I can't even respond to the association of the Vaishnavas. I take them for granted. I just think, oh yes, they're just this, they're just that. Try to understand. Manushanam sahasreshu kachyat yadi siddhaye yati tam apasiddhanam kachchin mam viditattva. Even a person who is just trying to become a devotee, who's just stepped forward in life and is desirous of making spiritual advancement, that person is rare in human society. What to speak of a person who has perfected that search and understands and realizes that he's not the body? What to speak of the rare soul, of all those souls, who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in truth and is performing devotional service on a regular basis in order to try to develop relationship and love for Krishna? These are rare souls. It means that even the rankest neophyte in our movement, in the Krishna conscious movement, even the rankest neophyte who come from backgrounds in which they don't understand anything about these things is a very exalted soul in relationship to all souls. Therefore, how important is it for us to be careful in our dealings to one another? How much important is it for us to feel joy when we see one another, when we hear the glories of another devotee? We don't just say, that's just a sentimental thing, and anyway, let's go on to something more important, significant. We're thinking like that. Even if we're not thinking like that, we're acting like that unconsciously. The devotees of the Lord are very important. They're very dear to Krishna, and they're very important to human society. Due to their austerities in love and their devotional service, Krishna is slowing down the advent of Kali Yuga. Imagine what it would be like. Kali Yuga is bad enough as it is. Without the devotees' presence on the planet, you read about it in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, when it gets bad enough and there's not very many devotees, and even they are, struggling, what happens? Human society becomes very, very fallen. Even the stature, the size of the human beings comes to 2-3 feet at the most. And they've got hair all over their bodies, like animals. And they're eating one another, eating their own children just to stay alive. This will go on. This will happen. And the main reason this happens is because, Krishna wants to precipitate, the purification of everyone. Then he comes as Kalki avatar and he just kills them all and starts the thing afresh with the Satya Yuga so that the human beings can again flourish and thrive in devotional service. So the point is that the Lord is always trying to help us, the earth, planet, all the living beings, and particularly the devotees, to increase the devotional service. Because he knows that that's the only thing that is really important. So his devotees who are fixed in that conception and fixed in devotional service, what's to speak of the advanced devotees like Uddhava, whose devotion is so enriched and so deep that he even looks like Krishna. Therefore, when Narada heard the glories of Uddhava, he became overjoyed. Overjoyed. And he immediately wanted to run to see him. Text 127. Uttaya tasya digbhaga vartmadatum samudyata yatvokto yadurajana chitrapema vikarabha. Showing various symptoms of ecstasy, Narada stood up, ready to set off in that direction. Noting this, King Ugrasena spoke. Digdarshini commentary, Sanatana Goswami. The shifting ecstasies felt by Narada produced various symptoms in his body. Perspiration, trembling, and standing of the hair on his limbs. He was obviously moved by impulses of spontaneous love. So only transcendental arguments could change his mind. Sometimes you may wonder, how is it possible that a person is in ecstatic love can be talked to at all? Because they seem to be mad, they seem to be not conscious of anything outside of their own. But at the same time, you hear in the Bhagavatam the exalted souls making speeches to these souls who are in this state, and sometimes, you know, reviving them to their, like Lord Chaitanya, he would be in ecstatic trance, and devotees would chant the holy name, or they would recite, you know, verses of the Bhagavatam or whatever, and Lord Chaitanya would be drawn back to his external consciousness. Sometimes even he would complain about it. I was just going to be with Krishna and the gopis. I saw them, and then you chanted and brought me back here. Oh, woe is me. Why have you done this? But here it says that he was obviously moved by impulses of spontaneous love. So only transcendental arguments could change his mind. See, devotees are only moved by transcendental arguments. It's not that mundane, dry logic and reasoning can move the heart of a Vaishnava. That doesn't mean that Vaishnavas are illogical, or that they're not, or that unreceptive to reasoning, but the reasoning has to be transcendental. They have to see that the reasoning that is being used to try to get them to change their behavior, or to do something they don't want to do, or whatever, or do something new, or whatever, will result in something auspicious, spiritually. Then devotees can respond to that. So as devotees, we should be conscious of that. And when we're dealing with one another, and especially if we have some kind of responsible position, and we've got subordinates, we have to get something done, and devotees are supposed to do it, then we have to approach them with transcendental reasons and arguments why they should do, and then the devotees will respond. But if it's just, you know, out of fear, or it's out of, you know, some dry logic or reasoning, the devotees won't respond. Hearts of the devotees don't respond. Right? Srimad Ugrasen Uvacha Bhagavan Uktamevaso Chanam ekam api kvachit nanyat tatishtati shasya krishnasya deshatobina. Sriman Ugrasen told Narada, "My lord, it is said that without Krishna's order, Uddhava never leaves Krishna's presence even for a moment. Yataham Pratyatatsanga Chitim nap no nikarachit tan mahalabhato hino satyayara jarakshaya." In contrast, despite my begging to stay in Krishna's company, I never obtain that blessing. I am deprived of that achievement because of my degraded occupation of protecting the kingdom. Commentary. By saying that Uddhava never leaves the Lord's presence, Ugrasena indirectly advised Narada not to look for Uddhava at home. At the same time, he also made the point that he, Ugrasena, was not at all as great as Narada said he was. At the least, he was not as great as Uddhava, whom Krishna kept always by his side. Ugrasena's kingdom was indeed a gift from Krishna, granted him after his son Kamsa fell from the throne. But the kingdom was a mixed blessing, a kingdom always in danger of conquest by various enemies. To make Ugrasena accept the throne, Krishna had resorted to duplicity. He had asked Ugrasena to watch after Mathura because the kingdom needed to be guarded against certain threats while the Lord traveled elsewhere. In fact, however, no such threats existed. We read in Sri Haribangsha 2:47, 16-17 and 21-23 that during Rukmini Swayamvara, Lord Krishna told Ugrasena, Tishtitvam nipashada shardula bhartram me sabito nipa chatriya nikrita pragya shastra nischitta darshanaha purim shunyam imam vira jaganya masvapidayan. O tigers among kings, O tiger among kings, please stay here with my brother. There are many warriors who externally follow the rules of scripture, but whose intelligence is perverted. When these kings find the city vacant, with no ruler in place, they will attack it and impose terror. Well, this is a very strong statement. It appears that if a person is a leader but has a perverted intelligence who is externally following rules of scripture but whose intelligence is not purified and is not seeing his subordinates and the living beings in general as parts of Krishna, they rule with fear, not with love. Especially in the society of devotees, but anywhere, anytime, for all time. When you have subordinates, if you try to rule them without love, without caring about them, love means that you care about them. It means if you have to impose a rule, a regulation, if you have to discipline them, if you have to even correct their behavior, you must do that because you care about them, because you want them to advance in devotional service. Otherwise, you will rule up with fear and fear alone, and what happens is the hearts of the devotees become dissatisfied and disturbed, and devotional service cannot go on smoothly. Devotional service is meant to go on in an atmosphere, a devotional atmosphere, where there is nice cooperation and loving sentiments being felt among the devotees towards one another, and with the purpose of increasing that atmosphere so that everyone can become elevated in devotional service. Means both the services become done in a more and more exalted way, and for the pleasure of the deities and the devotees. This is devotional service. Rukminis told Ugrasena during her Swayamvari ceremony, please stay here because you are a devotee leader, you are a devotee ruler. We trust you. there are so many kings and leaders who impose upon us rules and regulations, but their intelligence is not properly situated devotionally, and therefore they impose terror. And we are always in fear. We're living always in fear. And our bhakti, our devotional service, the creeper of devotion cannot thrive. The creeper of devotion thrives on bhakti. Therefore it is called the bhakti lata beach. The watering is not just mechanical sound. Sometimes Prabhupada used to chide us if we would attend some Bhagavad Gita professional reciter's discourse on Bhagavatam, even though the subject matter would be Krishna. But the sound vibration was not good because it was tinged with desires for profit and sense gratification. And therefore, as Sanatana Goswami said, just like milk is very nice, but if it's touched by the tongue of a poisonous serpent, it becomes contaminated and it's not to be taken. So even Harikatha, if it is, we should hear Harikatha from persons whose hearts are properly motivated. Ugrasena replied to Rukmini, Tvaya bihina sarvesma na shakta sukam asitum puresmin vishayante cha patihina yathastriya tvatsanata vayam tata tvadbahu balamashritaha vibhimo na narendranam sendranam apimanada vijayaya yadushvesta yatra yatra gamishyasi tatra tvam sahito smabhir gachchita yadabhashaba. Without your presence, none of us citizens can live peacefully in this city or its outlying districts, just as women cannot live happily without their husbands. Dear son, we all consider you our master. We depend on the shelter of your mighty arms. Therefore, O Creator of our honor, we fear no earthly kings, nor even Indra, King of Heaven. Wherever you go to find victory in battle, O first and best of the Yadus, you should please take us with you. This is the way that Vaishnavas feel secure. They need the presence of Krishna. The Vaishnava needs the presence of Krishna to feel happy and secure. If a Vaishnava is not feeling the presence of Krishna, then he cannot feel properly situated. So here Ugrasena is telling Krishna this. He said, we may be great warriors, I may be the king, we have so much opulence, we have so many things, but without you, it's all useless. It means nothing to us. It cannot satisfy us. These things cannot satisfy us. We depend on the shelter of your mighty arms. We know when we're in your company, nothing can happen to us. And everyone needs this shelter. Everyone needs to feel sheltered, needs to feel secure. And it's the duty of the king or the administrator or the leader to see to it that the persons underneath his jurisdiction are feeling secure and safe and happy, protected, cared for. That their property, whatever they have, even brahmacharis have a ball of tilak or, you know, some cloth or, you know, something. It's not that we have nothing. Everyone has something to execute our service. So these things should be secure. That's why when we see that there's things disappearing in the ashram, then we have to take care. We have to, you know, we have to find out, have to stop that. Because otherwise everybody will always be in anxiety. So the devotees care about these things, but they care about these things only because it allows them to think of Krishna and to be more conscious of Krishna. Because whatever they have, they're using in the service of Krishna. They can feel that they need something. So it's not that devotees just become, you know, uncaring and negligent and, you know, impersonal in the way they take care of their things, the way they take care of the property, the way they take care of anything, actually. One another. The way they take care of one another. Because they're not doing it to try to lord it over one another, to try to be in a position that gives them power over others and the gratification that comes from power and all those things. Devotees are not organizing themselves and accepting the different roles and hierarchies that are natural in organization for those purposes. And unless we're becoming more and more conscious of this and going in that direction, then we can't remain. We can't stay in a spiritual atmosphere. No one can stay in a place where they feel uncomfortable for very long. On the other hand, it's the duties of the followers not to always be demanding every little thing. You know, there's not enough cheese in the sabji, or, you know, something like that. They start criticizing, you know, I should have this, I should have that. No, not like that. There's a mutual feeling of love and respect. Therefore, Ugrasen is saying to Krishna, and Krishna is saying to Ugrasen all these wonderful things. Because even though there's a superior-subordinate relationship, the superiors are supposed to have a loving respect for the subordinates and vice versa. And then you have a congenial situation for devotional service. Now the world has become so dangerous a place, and the leadership is no longer enlightened. So therefore, what can they do? All they can do is pass a law. And if they catch somebody not doing it, then they punish them in some way or another. Of course, there has to be law and order. It's true. But, you know, there has to be more to it than that. There has to be... the citizens have to feel the benefit and the protection that they're deserve for working and providing services and facilities that are used by the king or the leaders in order to maintain whatever institution it is that needs to be maintained. This is enlightened leadership and enlightened following. We need enlightened leadership and we also need enlightened followers. Without both, you don't get the picture. We can't have a devotional atmosphere. The spiritual world is not manifest. Then it's just external show. And an external show in devotional service is one that does not last over time. Krishnena na tita kaschit udbhavascha mahasukhi tat parshva seva sobhagyat vanchita syat kadapina. No other devotee of the Lord is ever cheated like this. But as for Uddhava, he enjoys the greatest happiness, privileged to stay always by Krishna's side. He is never deprived of Krishna's association. So sometimes the devotees accuse Krishna of being a cheater. We should understand this properly. Krishna is not a cheater. But sometimes it appears like he is. The reason it appears like he is because, you know, sometimes he goes from one place to another and the devotees can't see him. And because the devotees' lives depend on seeing him and being with him, they think that he's cheating them by going away. But actually, this is Krishna's mercy on them, that their love and affection and the intensity of their desire to hear will be increased by feelings of separation. This is the purpose of Krishna separating himself from the devotees. Actually, the most exalted devotees, the Brajvasis, they become so... their feelings of separation for Krishna are so intense and so exalted that when Krishna is there, they feel even worse, because they're thinking, he could leave us at any moment. When is he going to go? When is he going to go? And in that way, their feelings just become to a level of intensity where they faint. They can no longer stay conscious. This is one of the major reasons why Krishna didn't, you know, go back to Braj more often after he left to do his duty of saving the earth. He felt, if I go, it'll make it worse for them. They'll suffer more. So Krishna is never a cheater. He's never a breaker of promises. I'm editing a book right now, Shivaram Maharaj's new book, which is going to elaborate deeply on this subject, how it is that Krishna met the Brajvasis, both outside of Braj and within Braj, after he left Mathura many, many times. And all the implications of that are going to be discussed in a book. So here, Ugrasen is saying, even Uddhava's cheating us, because, you know, he's always with Krishna, and sometimes, you know, they go away someplace together and leave us here, stranded, without them. So he's also a cheater. You connect with this guy and you become cheater. But we shouldn't think that this means that we can become cheaters in the name of being transcendentalists and bring that tendency into the material, mundane sphere. We shouldn't think like that. We shouldn't think that we can just, you know, manipulate one another to get our thing done because we're doing devotional service. We can't bring that transcendental principle down to the mundane plane. That is the principle of sahaja, of sahajism. When you bring the, you know, the transcendental principle to the mundane plane and try to act, you know, in the ways that a liberated person in a spiritual body will act, but with a material body. Therefore, the devotees, even who are liberated and even who are advanced, they follow all the rules and regulations strictly in relationship to their relationships with others and the way they conduct themselves in general in life. It can only get us in trouble if we're always trying to go the other way, if we're always trying to get our thing done by scamming or by, you know, saying anything to anybody because Krishna, you know, told a white lie here, or because Krishna stole this, or because Krishna did this. It's okay for us to do those things. When Krishna does those things, he's glorified. When we do those things, we're put in jail. This is the difference between us and Krishna. So we have to be strict, we have to follow the rules, we have to do everything properly, but we should do it out of humility, and we should do it with the purpose of helping others, not for self aggrandizement or self serving, in a self serving mood. And we will read the last verse of the fifth chapter today. Tat tat jagat va babata shumadrisham Sandesham etam sanibedaniyaha Adyat kayat gadat agamanasya bela Swanatam adhayat saham sabham sanataya. Therefore, please go to Uddhava quickly and convey from us this message. The appointed time today to come to the assembly hall has already passed. Kindly bring Krishna and grace the assembly with our master's presence. So even Ugrasena is sending Narada to Uddhava. Sure, Krishna is going to be there with Uddhava, because Uddhava never leaves Krishna's side. And, you know, they're trying to get their thing done by telling, you know, Uddhava to bring Krishna here. How can we go on? Commentary. In this way, the devotees try to help each other come in contact with Krishna. That is the relationship of a devotee to a devotee. The relationship between devotees means the devotees are trying to help one another get Krishna and be with Krishna and constantly associate with Krishna. This is devotional relationship. Krishna is always in the center. Commentary. In the phrase sabam sanataya, please grace the assembly hall, the verb sanataya literally means please allow to have its master. The idea implied is that without seeing Krishna, the Yadavas would be left helpless. They expect. Another implication in this verse is that Narada is more fortunate than the Yadavas because he can freely enter Krishna's private quarters whenever he wants. Thus ends the fifth chapter of part one of Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihat Bhagavatamrita entitled Priya, the Beloved. So now Narada is going to go to see Uddhava. And the real fun is going to begin. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Questions? A few minutes? Yes. He's saying that I'm saying that if you don't feel happiness when you see a Vaishnava, yeah, it's an aparad. He's saying, but sometimes personally, because I like some persons better than other persons, I feel better when I see them than when I see someone else. This is not mutually exclusive, these ideas. It's not that just because you may feel better with one devotee or get along with them better than another, that you don't feel joy when you see the other. You feel joy when you see all devotees, but you feel special joy when you see those special friends of yours. And if you don't, then it's mundane. To the extent that it's mundane, sometimes in your mind you may make these discriminations, but then when you actually see the person, a Vaishnava, if they're Vaishnava, then you feel, oh, it's so nice to see you. You see? Even though it may not be as deep or strong a feeling as when you see someone who's a close friend or you have a special relationship with. That's natural. That's natural. Krishna says, na me dveshasti na priya. No one is especially dear or not dear to him. He's neutral. He's equal to everyone. But the person who's especially stepping forward to try to devote himself to Krishna, Krishna feels naturally inclined more to that person. Doesn't mean that he doesn't like the other person. He likes everybody, but he especially likes those who are, you know, especially eager to be with him and to serve him and love him. That's natural. Just like a father may have 10 sons, you know, and one of the sons may be, you know, uncaring or, you know, negligent or just impersonal with the father, another son may be very caring and loving and always trying to do something for the father and assist the father and bring things to the father and express expression for it. So naturally the father is going to interact more with that son than with the other. But it doesn't mean that he loves one son less or more than the other. He's reciprocating naturally in relationship. Because we associate naturally in relationship, some devotees will be more dear to us than others. But that doesn't mean that the others are not dear to us. Especially if you feel bad when you see another devotee, then you should understand there's something wrong in your heart. This doesn't mean that we lose our discrimination altogether either. If someone comes in here and looks like a Vaishnava, but then you watch them and then they may act not like a Vaishnava. They may have put on saffron cloth to just come in here and steal from the deities or do some nonsense. There are all kinds of people who do that. We've had actually people come here, brahmachari. They come with the brahmachari cloth and then they do some nonsense. Steal something or harass some girl or whatever. We've had that happen. So it's not that you have to embrace that person. No, you should kick that person out. That is the way of expressing your caring for that person. Because if they don't get disciplined, if they don't get treated properly, then they will go on doing those things and the reactions will become more and more, worse and worse, and it won't be good for them. In this way we can adjust.